studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Cliff and Robin. You can join Cliff and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Cliff and Robin.
Afternoon to you all, and welcome to the program, the show that we talk about everything that we know nothing about, but we keep it entertaining anyways.
Yeah, we don't care if we know anything about it. We'll talk about it.
We make no claim to our accuracy.
Yeah. Well, we do sort of try a little bit. Basically, if we're wrong, then stuff that's been printed on the internet is wrong. Because that's basically where I watch television, though, and get a lot of my stuff. And don't write it down, however. I just remember it, supposedly, hopefully.
Yeah, but, you know, like that commercial says, that if it's on the Internet, it has to be true.
That's true. That's absolutely true. If it's on the Internet, you can count on it.
Yes, because you're not supposed to put false things on the Internet, so it has to be true.
Oh, boy. Only if. I've seen several things, perhaps, that I might possibly not believe on the Internet.
No.
That's possible.
Anyway, lots going on. Hopefully, one of the things that would be going on is your phone calls at 646-721-9887. Cliff, you got that written down?
646-721-9887.
Exactly, 646-721-9887. That might also work as the winning lottery numbers, too. You never know unless you try it.
That's not.
And if it does work, then please send your donations to talk@krbnradio.com, and we'll even put you on the show.
You'd like our share, huh?
Yeah, we'd like if you use our numbers and you win, we want a percentage, you know.
Yeah, right. That lottery thing, oh, boy, I tell you. That's big money now. Do you realize if I don't win it this week, then next lottery will be almost $1 billion?
Well, if...
Could you imagine winning $1 billion?
$1 billion. I can't imagine winning $1 million. But then again, as they're saying in the headlines, Powerball Frenzy locks down most possible numbers, combinations. So chances are somebody's going to win it.
Yeah.
Very seldom does anybody in Oregon win. It's always somebody back east.
Well, it dwindles down. If you win it and you take it in cash today, then, of course, you only get $300 million instead of $600 million. And if you do it that way, there's $149 million taken out in taxes. So if you really actually get down to it, I think it was like $297 million that you take home. But you know, I could probably figure out a way to squeeze out a living of that. I could handle living on that.
Okay. Well, okay, here's a question for you and anybody else that wants to address this. You're going to write a check for $200 million. How would you spell that out?
I'd probably write it out $200 million. I'd not write the to try to put zeros into that. I'd probably screw up the zeros.
Yeah, that's right. How many zeros is that?
Lots and lots and lots of zeros. Let me tell you. Let me tell you. But anyway, it's probably going to be one tonight. I would like to see it, you know, go another day, though. Another, well, that's every, next week wins the Wednesday. It's when it would be one.
Yeah.
Because $930 million, and of course, that's what it's projected to be. It's usually a little bit more than that because people buy more than they intend to buy. People buying stuff. I mean, it went up real quick to $600 million. It was.
Yeah. It's like it's not worth investing a dollar when it's like $10 million or $100 million. But, you know, like $600 million, yeah, it's worth a buck.
Your chances of winning are one in 1.75 million.
Well, in that case, I'll spend $2.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. The thing is, it doesn't make any difference if you spend a dollar, spend $2. your chances of winning are probably just about the same. People, there are people out there spending $5,000 a week to win it, and they don't win either. Some of them, Tom, and then somebody who spent a buck will win, and somebody who spent $5,000 a week won't. That'll upset them.
Yes, very much so. But like it says, it is, you play the lottery for entertainment purposes and not for investment.
Entertainment purposes.
Entertainment purposes only is what the Oregon lottery says.
I know, that's what they keep saying. I can't understand what entertainment I would get out of being totally frustrated. Just unbelievably frustrated.
Oh, when I had the money to play the lotto, I made a little game out of it, is that I do the quick picks and I'd never get any numbers. So then I'd buy another quick pick and I'd take a quick pick and then I'd buy another one of the numbers that the quick pick didn't pick, and then I'd actually would get numbers.
Ah, okay. I always let the computer pick them. When I first started, I used everybody's birthday. Everybody I knew had used birthday, and that didn't get me anywhere. There was a long time back when I had money. There was a long time that I bought a lottery ticket for every, I was going to say every week, but every twice a week for every lottery they did. And I'd buy usually $5. I limited myself to $5 or $10 a week on the lotto. I didn't really spend that much because I'd oftentimes forget, and I didn't add it up. I didn't let it accumulate. But I spent a lot of money on the lotto. I won quite a bit of money on the lotto, to be honest with you. I'd win it every once in a while, but I didn't win big. I'd win $20, $30.
Well, and the problem is that if you also pick your use the same numbers every time, the first time you don't play and the numbers come in.
Yeah.
But speaking of numbers, let's talk about cookies.
Okay. That's good enough.
Okay. And let's see, I like mine with chocolate chips. And no. what we're talking about is our longtime...
chocolate really bad for dogs?
I've heard it is.
I have too, so maybe it is.
Yeah.
To find out.
So anyways, what we're trying to talk about is dancing dog cookies. Cookies for dogs are little dog treats. They're made individually by Tom and Kathy in Eugene, Oregon, and are available at select stores in Eugene and available online at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog cookies, because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Yeah, check them out. Like I say, they're in lots of neat little shapes, and they really do a good job at it. So check them out. Check out page 2 on the website, and send a little note. Say, hi, I was here.
I was just reading here about Star Trek. Star Trek. This is episode number 7. This is the 7th movie of Star Trek. Although I understand it's actually the first in the series, it's not. They didn't do them in order.
They didn't do them in order.
No. And how does someone decide the order? It's a fiction story, so I don't know. But anyway.
But it's on the internet, so it has to be true.
Well, it is true. It is true. Absolutely is true. 7 episodes. Into Darkness, that's the new one. That's just now coming out, and I'm trying to figure out how to see how to get it. I don't want to have to go to a theater. That's too much work.
Well, you're just going to have to wait for it to come out.
That's it. That's just all I'm going to have to do. I used to run a theater. That's why I'm never too interested in going into theaters. I spent years of my life living in a theater, not literally, but almost. And I got tired of going to theaters and sitting next to people and hearing the noise. And it's so much. I have a theater in my living room, a big screen television, and I usually can watch I usually wait and buy the movie, and that way I don't have to watch it with commercials. So that's the only way to do it. It's quiet. Okay. You can pause it if you want to. Can't do that in the theater. People get upset.
They do. Okay, I'm pausing the movie now because I'm going to the bathroom. Everybody's just going to have to wait.
Yeah, that's about it. Yeah. That's just the only time the movie paused in my theater is when something happened and the projector didn't work. And it would usually melt the film and took quite a while to get it going again. And everybody gets upset.
Yes, Cliff Branham Theater, way before anybody heard of the word digital.
That's true. It was way before that. We actually still had individual film on individual projectors. We had two projectors up there, go back and forth, and you had to literally load the film by hand and everything. It's gone through several phases since then. Now, I guess it comes in via the internet, and you just have a projector sitting up there, take it off the internet. You don't even have the film.
And speaking of digital, you can digitally call us, 646-721-9887, talk about this or anything else that's on your mind. As proven by our history, we will talk about just about anything and normally do, whether it's related or not.
Even if you have an old dial phone, believe it or not, they still have some dial phones out there. And some people use them even though they have other phones. But some people like those old things, dial phones. I can't see it myself. I used to wear my finger out dialing phones. And so I got tired of that real quick.
Yeah, for the old people that remember.
That's too old. Way too old.
Way before touch time.
Well, speaking of old, Windows is planning a brand new update to operating system 8. They're up to 8 now. And they're going to, the big thing, having an update to it and fixing it is fine, but it's going to be free. The update will be, not the operating system.
Right. Well, they're trying to get everybody onto Windows 8 because it's mostly an app-based system, just like smartphones that Cliff doesn't have.
Yeah. I don't have Windows 8 either.
Yeah, me neither.
I used Windows 8 for a while. I did their... what do you call it, beta testing system. I did it for several months. And it was all right. It was nothing spectacular. And when I got through with it, I decided to go back to 7.
Yeah. So. Anyways, other stuff in the news to talk about. I guess the IRS and Obama's kind of making the headlines again. Obama's always making the headlines, but I guess he's... he gets a little annoyed when he can't play rock star because he has to actually sit down and do presidential stuff.
Well, the thing is, he's got plenty of opportunity now because every time he opens his mouth, he sticks his foot in it, and he gets to open it again and talk to the people in front of the big cameras, and he gets the big audiences.
Yeah.
And he's been on TV with, what, 3 times this week? Something like that? I mean, it's becoming a standard thing now to see the president on TV.
Well, it seems to me like he's jumping on the TV faster and more often than any other president.
No, we should check that out because I bet he is. He's got to be there way more because he's constantly into trouble. Right now he's got this scandal with the IRS, and he, of course, is saying that he didn't know anything at all about it until just the last few days. And yet he's got people running the IRS who say they told him about it months ago. And he's so befuddled and bewildered. I don't think he knows what to do. He doesn't really know what to do. I'm not saying he's stupid, which I am almost, but he just doesn't know how to handle it. He doesn't know what to do with it and do about it, anything. And he's really got, and so consequently, he's throwing everybody else under the bus. is what he's doing. It's you know, he doesn't want to take the blame for anything, so he lets everybody else take the blame.
Well, that's customary. You know, when something happens, somebody's got to lose their job. But what about the, we're going to investigate this and other allegations? Because it's one of those things, just like for generations, it's kind of a joke. People say, well, the government's corrupt. We don't trust the government. But yeah, we just kind of go, ha-ha, yeah, that's so true, and we move on. Well, the IRS has been known to target people in the past, and it's the same attitude. It's just, ha-ha, yeah, well, they do that.
I don't think they've been known to target quite so many people as they are doing or have been doing recently, because they've been taking big groups of people and it's obviously, you know, they can't say it's just one little group of people or one person doing something out of one office, because it's happening all over the country in offices that are hundreds of miles apart and they're all doing the same thing. And it's gotten to the point that if you get something from the IRS, everybody panics because they seem to have unbelievable reach to what they can do, and consequently, and it's doing, they're doing it too, because they it's scary if the IRS gets a hold of you. Things are going to change because people are so upset that they're worried about being touched by the IRS. And so they're going to try to fix it so they don't have to be touched by them. And it's true, because the IRS is way out of control, I think. Way out of control.
Yeah, but the IRS is going to get more into everybody's lives with the implementation in 2014 of Obamacare.
That scares me to death. That scares me to death that they, you know, give them more power? No. Somewhere along the line, they've got to go back to being just a collector of revenue and that sort of thing. And they're asking ridiculous questions. I mean, they're asking about information from ridiculous things, just things that they don't even need to know about. They're asking, for example, a book club was asking to account for what they'd been reading. A book club was reading books and they wanted to know what books they'd read. An anti-abortion group was asked to detail the content of its members' prayers. Another anti-abortion organization was asked what kind of signs it planned to use for protests at Planned Parenthood clinics. The Tea Party group in Texas was asked for a list of every email message it ever sent. Dozens of organizations were asked for their lists of contributors. They just went...
Well, yeah, because that gets beyond the IRS scope of how much did you make, send it in.
Yeah, really. Way, way, way past it. I mean, what are they wanting? One wonders what they're going to do with that information, or what they wanted to do with that information, and if they've got that information, what they're thinking about doing with it. Because I'd be prepared to go to jail before I'd give that ridiculous information.
Well, that's what I'm saying as far as Obamacare and stuff goes. I mean, even the IRS is thinking about delaying the deadline for implementation of Obamacare because of the outcry from the people that's starting to happen, including that the people that even wrote the bill, Nancy Pelosi's theory that you got to pass it to know what's in it. Well, now that people are starting to know what's in it, they're starting to backtrack or backstep quite a bit, including let's see, one of the, I'm trying to read the guy's name here. I think it's Max Buckets of Montana, one of the law's chief authors, recently warned the Health and Human Services Secretary, Kathleen Sebelius, I'm going to mispronounce the name, I apologize, during a congressional hearing of what he says or sees as a huge train wreck coming if the law is non-implemented with due consideration. And what's going to happen is just like... I'll use a recent example here in Oregon, in Portland. They passed what's called an arts tax, where everybody over 18 that's making over, I forget the minimum amount of income, is required to pay $35 per person a year for tax. Well, in Multnomah County, about 4 or 5 years back, they tried something called the iTax, a similar type of thing. And in both cases, voters voted in favor for it. Then when it came time to collect it, it's like, what? Why am I getting hit with this? Well, what's going to happen here with Obamacare in 2014, when you are required to have qualifying health care or pay a penalty, at the end of your tax year, when you're noticing that your refund's going to be a little bit less because you don't have the health care, people are going to start crying. And in 2016, the fines can go up to over $2,000.
Yep.
And then what happens if you don't get a refund every year and you owe taxes? Now you got $2,000 more in taxes you got to pay. And people like myself, I'm behind in my property taxes and got charged an extra $100 in interest, by the way. Thank you, Lane County. And when people don't have it, and the IRS is going to start coming after a huge percentage of Americans because they just don't have the money to pay the taxes.
I love it. You don't have the money to pay the thing in the first place, so they charge you more.
Exactly.
That's the way it has on everything. It's not just that. Almost everything does that. But it's just amazing. If you don't have the money, then you get charged more yet. So, and how people come up with that, I don't know.
Well, and such a ridiculous amount either, and they don't take payments. You can't pay in advance, and then if you miss the deadline, another $100. I missed the deadline by 2 days, so I'm going to get billed another $100.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I don't understand why they won't take it in payments, because it'd be more likely to get it that way.
Bookkeeping.
Well.
I mean, you can send them. Well, you can't pay ahead because then they can't hold the money. So, and if you pay behind, then you're going to pay their 18% interest or whatever. So it's there's no way to get ahead of it.
Yep. It happened. It's amazing how much money you can get into, especially when the government's involved, because they don't take no for an answer.
Well, and what's really sad too is that. My property taxes are $2,000 a year, and if you don't pay them within 3 years, for $6,000, probably about, say, $6,500, I could lose my house.
Yeah. And there are a lot of people do that. A lot of people lose their house over not paying the taxes on it. That's for sure.
But in this economy, if you don't have the money, what are you supposed to do?
Well, it's amazing because this economy... we're going to have to stop using it as an excuse because, I guess, from what I'm hearing, in Washington and Oregon anyway, people are buying houses like they were going out of style, and they're paying big bucks for them. Houses are going for hundreds of dollars more than they're being asked for.
Well, and additionally, the like what again was happening in the Eugene Springfield area. Our utilities are going up because, for example, our utilities here are over $200 a month. $60 of it just goes to rainwater runoff and sewage fees.
Yeah.
One could say that's a lot of shit.
Well, I would hate to have to worry about where it goes myself, so I would suffer through that.
Yeah, but the whole point is that. As I'm losing my voice again. The whole point is that it's cost, just the basic cost of living is going up. The economy is really bad, especially in Lane County here. People, of course, then again, Lane County, where you got the Oregon Ducks, so you got a college town. So, and unless you move out of the area, that dilutes what a college education is actually worth, because I've seen jobs advertised requiring a minimum of a bachelor's degree for $12 an hour. Oh, boy, that justifies the 4 years and the thousands of dollars you spent. And
the education thing is going to change, too, because having to have a college education to dig ditches is just ridiculous, and it's almost at that point. Because you have to have a college education for anything. And not everybody has a college education. Not everybody can afford it to begin with. And not everybody actually can use it in a second. There are a lot of instances where people can't, how do I want to say, are not good at taking tests. not good at school, but they can go out and get a job. And we're not allowing them to do that unless they have a college education.
Right. The only thing, really, when you get right down to it, the only thing school does, if you get good grades in school, it just says that you can, like you said, you know how to take tests. And I'll refer to, like, being a technician. Yeah, you can go ahead and take a test and pass an exam, or you can go to school for 2 or 4 years. But then when you're out there in the real world, does that mean that you actually have the smarts to think outside the box?
Well, you know, it doesn't make any difference if you have the smarts or not. Things change by the time you get out of school. By the time you get out of school and you get a job, the systems have changed. I mean, everything has changed again. So you've got to keep up on it yourself.
Right.
And I don't know that school really does. It school can make a big difference if you're not into learning things on your own. Some people can't learn on their own. It's difficult. And being force-fed things by an instructor or a professor is the way they like to do it. And so there's a place for college, but I don't think everybody is in that place.
Right. Well, it's just like, take myself, for example. I have an associate's degree, but I also have over 30 years hands-on experience as an electronics technician. But my degree is not in that field, and I have a proven track record of doing, solving things that even engineers haven't been able to solve. But unfortunately, to get the opportunity, I have to get the certificates or whatever to even be given the chance. So that's where I'm going.
That's again, that's ridiculous in my opinion. There should be ways of doing that. In other words, I should be able to, if I want to, I've had 20 years of field experience myself, let's call it,
right.
And I want to go to some place and get a certificate saying that I know how to do it. Rather than going to 2 years or 4 years of school, I should be able to go to a place and take the test, and if I can pass the test, I should be able to do it. That's just like, I've often thought, you know, this business of being able to drive. You now, at least where I'm from in Washington, you have to take a test. But you have to have driver's ed in order to even get to the test. Now, you need to take a test delivered by the DMV to prove that you can know how to drive.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to take a test and driver's ed to be able to take the test to prove that you can drive. And that, to me, is ridiculous. If I wanted to go out and learn how to drive, or someone is willing to teach me how to drive, and I didn't want to go to school to do it, then I shouldn't have to. And I, as long as I can take that final test that proves that I know how to drive, I should be able to do it.
Well, exactly. Like businesses used to do, they take somebody in as an apprentice or entry level, and they would train them.
Mm-hmm.
They would share their knowledge, train them to actually give them hands-on on how to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, in this economy, you don't see too many of those opportunities anymore. In fact, speaking of in Obama's weekly address on Saturday, Obama spoke of the ladders of opportunity, heralding signs of the healing housing market and shrinking deficit as evidence that things are looking up.
Yes.
Which gets right back to the point that, as you're a millionaire and things are looking good as you're living in the Obama palace, but, looking on the other side of the hedges, at the other side of the fence of the White House, where you got people still sleeping on the benches, things are a little different in real life.
That's true. That's true. I got another story to tell, but I'll wait.
No, go ahead.
Oh, well, it has to do with the learning how to drive and learning how to do things. They just had a thing on television where they were congratulating a little kid. He was, I think he's 8 or 10 or something like that, who his mother, he was asleep in the back seat of the car, and his mother was driving. And his mother had some sort of a thing, and she fainted or passed out or did whatever. And the kid woke up, and nobody was driving the car, but the car was still moving. And so he climbed up between the seats, pull the car over to the side of the road and then shut it off. Now, everybody was congratulating him. This is the neatest thing in the world. He's obviously been taught to do that. He's obviously been taught to drive. He's been, you know, behind the wheel and understands driving a car and all that sort of thing. But they didn't talk about that. They just congratulated him for being able to do that. I think that's absurd. This kid was very smart and very good to do what he did, and I think it's great, but they should be talking about the fact that he did learn how to drive. He learned how to drive from, obviously, his mother or his father or somebody in his family, because the schooling system, the educational system wouldn't teach him how to drive. He's much too young, supposedly. But people, you don't get credit for things. I mean, you should be able to get credit for what you're doing instead of what you're supposed to do.
Well, in this bubble wrap society that I keep referring it as, this is probably what would have gone the other direction. The parent probably would have got cited for one letting the child up in, you know, driving the car.
Yeah.
The kid would have got cited for driving without a license, and then the parent would have got cited for the kid was not securely fastened down in the car seat.
Well, yeah, I didn't even think about the securely in the car seat. I don't know if he was or not. I mean, he was asleep in the back seat originally, and he woke up.
Yeah.
And his mother, he woke up when his mother went to sleep.
But see, the thing is that as we got more technologically advanced, quote unquote, in the 21st century, we've gotten technologically stupider. Because if you get back to, and I'm talking about the way kids are raised, because if you get back to like the 1800s, for example, kids, I don't know how early that they would do it, but at a very early age, they were out there hunting, with carrying guns with their parents, maybe even sometimes going out on their own, hunting for food. The only light and heat was from whatever fire you created, so the kids had to know how to start fire either with flint or with matches or whatever. And you know, I can give you a whole list of things. The kids were allowed to go out by themselves. They didn't have to wear helmets while they went hunting or they went strolling down a path or whatever, the knee pads. And you look at today, and in comparison, it's just the opposite. Kids are treated like an idiot. They can't do anything. We're overly protective, and we shield them from the real world. I mean, back if you lived on a farm, you're familiar with death. You're familiar with birth. You're familiar with a lot of things. That even recently, they tried to pass a law to shield kids from that on the farm.
Yeah. There's a lot of things that we're doing that our modern society is just screwing us up entirely. And that I think will resolve itself somewhat too. But this business of I don't know. It's just we get much more educated and much dumber at the same time. I agree with you.
Yes. And the politically correct crowd. But if it hadn't been for the kid somehow watching, or like you said, maybe being taught, like taking him out to a parking lot and letting him, you know, teach him the basics. I mean, kudos to the kid for recognizing that there is an issue, life or death issue, because it could have killed both of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking action and safely saving himself and his mother, because like you said, he knew what to do.
Well, my point is that kids can learn things a lot earlier than they do.
Right.
We put everything in little steps and make kids learn it in little steps or big steps or whatever. Basically little steps. They're 90% of the children could probably learn things faster than they're being taught. And we're keeping all the rest of these people back to keep up with the, I don't want to call them slower kids, but that's basically what they are. But it's just amazing. And I understand that it gets real expensive to try to teach children in groups. In other words, you got group A can learn X fast, and group B can learn a little bit faster. Group C can learn a little bit faster. And having all these, you know, they did this in the military. When I was in the military to learn, they had groups of the people who were what they called AOG, ahead of the game. Once you've learned the part that you were supposed to learn for that particular period of time, and once you've learned that, then they give you a badge and you could go out and do whatever you wanted to do. You didn't have to go back to class and go to school and continue to sit in the classroom while the rest of the kids, or, well, people, caught up. And that was one way of doing it. There's another way of doing it is advance them to another step so that everybody's learning on their own step and then can get done much faster, which I also ended up doing too, because I was ahead of the game too much and they didn't want to do that, so they passed me on up to the different step. So I learned things faster than other people. But, you know, everybody should still, you could still all end up in the same place, ultimately, but some people get there faster than others, and they should be allowed to do that faster than others.
Well, but, in business, it's called, I took a course called Train the Trainer, which is the different styles of learning. Some people are auditory, some people are visual, some people are hands-on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Go ahead.
No, it's just sad that we can't basically change our educational system. I think we're way behind in our education system. Of course, we're beginning to realize that, I think.
Well, look how they're raised. I mean, it used to be like Sesame Street was teaching you more stuff to, I love you love me. You know, big purple dinosaurs.
Well, I happen to don't like Sesame Street. I think it's subversive.
It was a lot better when I was growing up.
I don't know. When I grew up, I didn't watch Sesame Street. I didn't know anything about Sesame Street. I was busy running the theater.
Running the theater or running from the guy in the theater?
No, I managed a theater at age 14. That's when I started.
Which, of course, now you can't do because of child labor laws, just like working in the fields.
That's true.
You can't do anything.
It's amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. It's really sad. I don't know.
Well, and speaking of sad, in case somebody does decide they want to give us a call, 646-721-9887. Yes, this is a radio program. Yes, it is a talk show. And by that also means you can call that number and call in and talk about whatever you want to talk about. It is summertime, kind of. And or getting into it, and things are slowing up a little bit as far as news. But there is lots to talk about, and you can talk about whatever is on your mind within reason.
And one of the things that happened on the news that I happened to see was this train, commuter train in New York City, that for some reason it derailed. We haven't quite understand that. It just happened yesterday, so they're still working on it and still got people. But 60 people were hurt during this thing that took place, and 5 people were in critical condition. But during the rush hour, and 2 trains collided with each other. Now, at first they thought it was head-on because one was going one way and one coming the other way on the same track. But it was, they were actually ended up on side beside each other in a place where the two tracks, where the track separated. These are brand new trains, so they could have been moving right along, but they scraped against each other, and of course that's, you can't do that with a train. It messes things up and creates more of a problem than necessary. So consequently, the trains were sort of off the track and sort of on the track, and it messed the train up pretty bad. But it was in the middle of rush hour, so they didn't know what to do. Basically, they had all these people on this train that were rushing to get off the train. They were in the downtown area and didn't have any place to go, and they didn't have anybody to take them there. And they just had people standing around in the parking lots and in different places by the railroad tracks, getting in the way. It was a mess. It was an absolute mess. It didn't look really that bad as far as just one car looked like the whole side of it was torn off, is all. But when you think about it, to tear off the side of a railroad car, just literally tear it off, you have to probably hit pretty hard.
Right.
And I don't think I'd want to be there. It was a lot of damage, basically, pretty good sized damage to try to do for just a, you know, if it just scraped up against the side, but this actually ripped off the aluminum of siding of the car. And now, see, that was another thing that I would want to know is that because it's a brand new car and it was cheaply built, or was it because it actually hit that hard? And they were both in, I mean, there were the new trains, which were capable of going very fast. They were capable of going 90 to 100 miles an hour. But I don't believe they were doing that because they were such a congested area. I don't believe they were going that fast. But I don't know. We'll find out probably tomorrow or so, because it's, well, not tomorrow, Sunday. Monday we'll find out more about it. But it was quite an interesting thing, and it's quite sad to see, you know, all these people. This was an afternoon train that was taking people home from work, and it was jam packed. There was no doubt about that, and there were all these people standing out in the parking lot, and I don't know that it was necessarily a parking lot, but this area of ground that wasn't covered with something else, and they were just standing there, just didn't know what to do. Well, that's the one thing nowadays, of course. Everybody has phones. You know, you don't have to look for a phone. In the good old days when you had to find a phone outdoors to make a call and everybody would be in line. But everybody almost has a phone, so they could call somebody. But who do you call? Everybody else is coming home from work, or everybody's at work or whatever. So who do you call to come and get you? And what do you tell them? And, of course, a lot of the people were being, I don't want to say detained, because, you know, the authorities want to know more about what happened, I'm sure, so they didn't want to go home and leave the area.
Well, that's true, and of course the National Transportation Safety Board is looking into it to figure out what happened. They're looking at the reaction of the crew and brakes and tracks and all that type of stuff, so it'll come out in the wash of what happened.
Oh yeah, I'm sure we'll probably find out what happened, but it just didn't make much sense to when you looked at it to see what happened. And of course, interestingly enough, they didn't have big coverage of it. It wasn't a widely known thing when they did have coverage of it. And getting choppers up or helos or whatever they call them nowadays, but getting helicopters up there to take a look at. Take pictures of it. They didn't have those up there right away, so we didn't get the pictures right away.
Well, in either case, you know, why it happened, it said that it happened.
Yeah. That's the thing. It'd be interesting to find out, what happened and how it happened, and how could, you know, I don't know about these trains, especially in a city area. You've got to have tracks side by side. I mean, you've got to be able to have trains going both directions at the same time. That basically have one set of tracks, one tracks in an area. I don't understand that. We've got to get our trains have got to be more safe. In other countries, people use the train a lot more than they do here. And we're trying to get the new trains and the faster trains, and we're not going to get them unless they're safe. And when they pull things like this, that's not being safe as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and they say they're supposed to be the state-of-the-art trains, too. Well, just because they're state-of-the-art doesn't mean that they're better.
Well, which art, I guess?
Yeah, which state?
I don't know. That's a concern because, you know, I think we're hearing more about train wrecks than we are about air crashes lately for a long, you know. Air is still the safest way to travel, and yet most people travel by car, and that's the least safe way to travel.
Yeah, speaking of, and I get back to that headline. You can't even go to a parade without somebody driving through it.
Oh, really?
There's one headline here as I'm going through, and I'll see if I can find where it's at again.
That's people. If you're in a car, you figure you've got the right of way, no matter what. And people just sometimes just take that right away, regardless of whether they really have it or not.
This is in a car drives into crowd at Virginia Parade.
Wow.
Southwestern Virginia. Witnesses said a car drove into the crowd at a parade and hurt several people, but the nature of the injuries, of course, was not immediately known. It happened around 2:30 p.m. during the Hikers Parade at the Trail Days Festival, an annual celebration of the Appalachian Trail in Dumacus, a small mountain town near the Tennessee state line and about a half-hour drive east of Bristol. And it says here that what caused the car to drive into the crowd was immediately known, but it appeared to come down a side street, and a thud could be heard, and people yelled stop, and at some point the car finally stopped. Witnesses said the car had a handicap parking sticker on it and went more than 100 feet before coming to a stop.
Wow. It's hard to say. You never know what the reasonings are. There may be somebody in it that was impaired, and if they are, where were they driving?
Yeah, well, they didn't get any more elaborate than that. But
back to the president.
Back to the president, yes. Or back to 646-721-9887, if anybody's checking us out today. And if you're listening to us on the archives, as thousands of people literally do every week, then you can, of course, are always welcome to send us an email, talk@krvnradio.com.
Well, we've talked about the fact that the president has a problem with the IRS and the big problem that he's had with them. But that's not the only problems he has. He has other problems other than the IRS. This Benghazi thing keeps poking its head up and sticking its tongue at us. We, for some reason or other, nobody seems to be able to get the information out, or if they get the information out, it keeps changing. We've pretty much put aside this movie that supposedly criticizes the religion that supposedly was involved in that. If you look at it carefully, you'll find that if you go overseas, where Benghazi is, people didn't even know that that movie existed. That was a thing about in the United States. And so this business of blaming this movie for this whole thing was absurd. And Hillary Clinton basically blamed that.
Well, and give the people over there overseas some credit. I mean, again, this is the thing about the way news is spun, because it can be any way you want it to be, is that you could show footage of riots, say, 5 years ago and make it today's footage and just say, oh, somebody, an amateur video artist, created this little movie and it just created riots and mass murders overseas, and over here, we wouldn't know the difference.
Nowadays, I think we would. I don't think you could get away with something like that for any length of time at all, because the news industry has become too good. They basically, without too much trouble, could check out on something like that and find out.
Well, on that same note, now granted, this movie has been quite some time, but do they interview any of the people overseas and going, why are you rioting? Or they just go, they just say, well, these people are rioting because of the movie. And
so that's the thing. The movie is completely out of it now.
Right.
The whole thing is when they hit our embassy over there, they hit it with, you don't see a movie and riot with bombs in your pocket. And these people had bombs in their pocket.
Right.
Taking them and hitting them, and this was a full-fledged a riot and terror attack that took place, and I think we're finding that out, and people are finally accepting that, and Obama still doesn't believe it, accept it or accept the blame. He knew about it. He says he didn't, but then he so much of this stuff. He's the president. He's supposed to know everything that's going on.
Wow.
And he gets a briefing every morning, telling him the things that are happening that day. And maybe he doesn't remember, or maybe he doesn't. But I'm getting more of the impression he.
Well, he's supposed to get the briefing, and I've heard talk from other sources, but against third-party sources, that he's been skipping his briefing until it became a big deal on the news.
Well, he's
supposed to. One of the first things on his schedule is to have his morning briefing.
Yeah, but if he doesn't bother with it, you know, that's the thing that bothers me. That's the thing that's getting to me. It's not whether he can, it's whether he wants to or not, and I don't think he cares. And unfortunately, we're the people left holding the bag here. If he doesn't care, we get caught with it. And things happen then that we don't know about and that he doesn't tell us about or whatever. And same thing as with the IRS thing. He should have known about them. Maybe he didn't know about them. But if he didn't know about them and let them go on and happen, then who do we have protecting us? Who do we have working for us? And why is he still there? And then, you know, I'm not sure how much longer. Because people are getting upset. People are literally not rioting yet, but they're getting upset about what's happening or what's not happening in the White House. And lately, he's going to be in, I don't know. I hope he's going to get in trouble. Let's put it this way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you get right down to it, that we elected somebody to run the country. You know, we didn't elect somebody to be another superstar or whatever.
But that's what we've got, I'm afraid, at this point, is what it looks like. He's not running the country, and since he isn't running the country, it leaves it to people who have ulterior motives to run the country.
Right.
And for example, the IRS. And I'm beginning to think they have ulterior motives and about a lot of different things. We're finding out that they're doing more things than we thought they were doing, and they're getting into more in-depth information collection than we thought they were doing, and much more in-depth collection of information than they need. There's no possible need for some of the things that they've been asking people for and the information that they've been getting out of people. And that's the other thing that he's not been, he being president, is not paying attention to. He feigns the fact that he doesn't know about all this stuff. Nobody tells him about this stuff. Well, maybe that's it. Maybe he isn't listening to his briefings. Maybe he isn't paying any attention to them, and that's why he isn't informed about them, in which case we need to change people there. I mean, the thing is, I was hearing somebody talk about on television the other day, who do we put in there? Do we trust a vice president to be capable of doing that? Well, actually, yes, I would. To be honest with you, I think the vice president is quite capable of running the country and doing a much better job of it than we have going on now. At least he'd know the people to listen to and the people to talk to get the information to get the things done. And then if we didn't, it goes down the line as to who we get. I don't know if I'd want to go any further than the vice president.
I know. It's just like I'm looking at the president's schedule for May 12th to May 18th. On Monday, at 10 a.m., because it seems like he never starts anything before 10 a.m. The president holds a bilateral meeting with the Prime Minister Cameron of the United Kingdom. Then they hold a press conference, and then he departs the White House for, at the base Andrews, wherever that is. He arrives in New York City, remarks at DNC, 10 p.m., departs, arrives back, and then 11:05, arrives back at the White House. On Tuesday, he has his daily briefing at 10 o'clock. and nothing scheduled until 4:45, where he meets with Secretary Hagel. Wednesday, 9:45, he has his briefings. 11 a.m., more remarks at the officers' peace officers' memorial services. He has lunch. Meets with Senator McCain to discuss the progress of common sense immigration reform, and then the senior treasury. And then Thursday, no briefings at all. That meets with the Prime Minister of Turkey. And on Friday, at 10 a.m., he has his briefing. So, and then he goes out and gives another speech to an elementary school, tours Ellicott dredges, makes more remarks, and departs Maryland and heads back to the White House. So that's pretty much his week.
It doesn't sound like a real busy week to me, but then I don't know what all of those things entail. It might be busier than I think it is.
Well, this is just what they, I mean, we don't know everything. We're not supposed to know everything, but it's just the public schedule, you know.
Well, we say we're not supposed to know everything. I'm beginning to think if we don't know everything, we're going to be in trouble, because things are getting out of control, and I don't think Mr. Obama is capable of bringing him back into control. I think he's gone out of his league, entirely out of his league.
Well, I think that for one, he jumps too fast before getting all the facts. You know, he jumps too fast on to get on TV without knowing all the facts, doing the research and everything. He needs to spend less time going to elementary schools and start focusing more on what's going on with the country.
You see, I don't mind him going to the elementary schools. He's got a staff. He's got a huge staff of people who can inform him as to what's going on. He doesn't have to learn anything. He doesn't have to discover anything. He just has to listen to people. And I don't think he listens to people. That's what I think is happening. He just doesn't possibly listen to people and what they say to him. And he doesn't. And if he does listen to them, he's not digesting the information and using it intelligently or something, because he's just jumping into one scandal after another. He's going to end up with so many scandals, he's not going to be able to extricate himself from it, and that's the problem. And he's got too much to do, and he doesn't have to do it. That's the thing. He doesn't have to do any of that stuff. He can have people do it for him. He has people, plenty of people.
Well, that's why the old joke, you know, I'll have my people meet your people and they'll do lunch.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. All I know is that world's getting crazy, and a lot of things are coming out in the wash, and it's going to get worse before it gets better, I hate to say.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of, and we're gonna find out. I think that I can't see this president going down in history as having done anything very good. I mean, his health thing, I don't think it's going to last. I think it's something is going to happen to it. It's either going to be changed drastically or in a way, I hope it's not terminated. I hope it doesn't go away, because we've taken so long in order to get something of this sort. But this is not it. And so we need to get somebody in there that's been thinking or that can think, or a group of people that can put things together. And we should start doing that right now to bail it out when Obama's gone, because I'm just positive it's going to need bailing. And you need a whole lot of work in order to make it tolerable to almost anyone. Because as it sits, I don't think it is tolerable to anyone. It's spending money that we don't have. I can't think of anything about that whole bill that's tolerable, that's swallowable, that's acceptable.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you, but like I said, it'll all come out in the wash, and people will either make a decision to go along like the sheeple they are, or they're going to put down their, step away from their football game for a little bit and get involved.
I'm just scared to death that who are we going to put in? just the wrong person is going to get in there. If we'd have been smart, he didn't win by a long ways. He didn't win by a landslide like some people are trying to put out there. He just barely squeaked by, and it's too bad that he squeaked by. And so who have we got to run in what's it, 2016?
Well, they're trying to push Mrs. Clinton into running.
Oh, forget that. Then
we have the Bush family legacy, Jeb Bush, they're talking about.
I think we're going to get one of those, what is it, Rubio or something like that?
Yeah.
Rand
Paul might go ahead and run.
Rand Paul is a very good current candidate. He could accomplish quite a great deal. He thinks. He doesn't just rotely act on things that other people do. Now, he might be a little too conservative, for that matter. But that I don't think you can be too conservative at this point. Rand Paul, if we got rid of a lot of things that the federal government is doing, and that's what we're going to have to do that to begin with, because we're not getting anywhere with all of these rules and regulations, and they're tying us up too tight. Again, I'm going to go back to the bit that I say about getting rid of all of the laws, because we've got so many laws on the books now that you can't move, you can't do anything, because there's a law against it somewhere along the line that somebody will want to find and get you on. So no matter what you do, there's going to be something somewhere that you've done it wrong, and even if you do it the other way, it's going to be wrong because there's another law somewhere that says that's wrong. And so we've got to get a handle on the laws to begin with. That's one of the first things we've got to do.
Well, I got an idea. First of all, 646-721-9887. We've got 27 minutes left in the program if you'd like to comment on this or anything else that is on your mind. Speaking of laws, you know, if we just start enforcing the laws, that could save a lot of problems. But laws have become a joke.
That's what I'm saying. We've got so many laws, we can't enforce all the laws because one law contradicts another law.
Right. Or one law favors. I'll give you an example. I was talking with Cliff off the air about this one. In Oregon here, our governor recently passed a law to allow undocumented or illegal aliens to get driver's license. Now, here's the thing. If you're a citizen, this is the way the law is currently written. If you're a citizen, in order to get your driver's license or to renew your driver's license, you have to show an original birth certificate or a certified, certificate from your place of birth. In other words, not a copy. Otherwise, you get no driver's license. However, if you're undocumented, all you need to do is show that you've lived in one spot for a year or more, and you don't get the 8-year driver's license that the citizens get. You get a 4-year driver's license.
Yeah, that's one thing I don't understand anyway. Why do we have the license last that long? I mean, other states, it's 4 years or 2 years.
Right.
I don't see any reason that the driver's license has to be for that long. Of course, it might be, let's put it this way, you could earn your lengthy driver's license. In other words, if you've never had an accident, you've never been anything caught doing anything wrong, and you have a spotless driving record, then maybe each time you renew your license, it can be for a longer period of time and until something happens. And so you earn a reward for proper driving and knowing what you're doing.
But you see where I'm going with this. So, and the same thing is true with the Obamacare, as we were talking earlier. You and I, if we don't have qualifying insurance, are going to have to pay a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are an undocumented, even though supposedly you're not eligible to receive any of those type of cares from the Obamacare thing, you are excluded from having to pay that penalty.
No, that's we've got to the immigration thing is yet to be confronted. That's just all there is to it. Something has got to be done, and something has got to be done. Speaking of actually doing something about a law, enforcing a law, enforcing various laws, we've got to enforce at least the laws that have to do with immigration, so that having people come across the border, in other words, from specifically Mexico, I think, more than anything, because they're coming here for reasons of the fact that they're, it's true, you know, we're supposed to take people if they're living in squalor or being punished by their government where they're from.
We have a system for that.
Which is, the thing is, what is being punished by their government? If they're living in absolute squalor is not being punished by a government, yet it is. You don't have the opportunity to live in an acceptable style. That's being punished by your government. Your government is not giving you a chance. And at least this is my opinion. What I've taken out of the people that have come in across the border, they can't make a living down there. And their government, of course, is who is deciding that they can or can't make a living. I mean, Mexico is not, it's not a poor country. It's not that poor, I don't think. There's places in Mexico where people are making huge money and, well, good money and having great jobs, but there's still so many people in Mexico that are destitute, just absolutely destitute.
Well, there are here in the U.S., again, because of the economy and everything. And that's the whole thing. If they follow the laws, if they would have followed the laws, well, for one, we wouldn't have as big as an immigration problem that we have now. We wouldn't have children. I have to deal with the issue of undocumented children that were brought here, and it wouldn't be as big as it is now, for one.
I think first of all, the thing we should change is the fact that not every child that's born in the United States is a United States citizen.
Correct.
That's one of the first things that's got to be changed, because that's about 50%, I think, or a great percentage of the people that come into this country come here to have a baby, and then the baby is an American citizen.
Right, the 14th Amendment. But the... I hate getting older. But I was going to say, too, that you're talking about, you know, yeah, a great portion of the illegals are from south of the border, but not everybody's from south of the border, you know, but...
No, there are illegal immigrants from other parts of the world, but most of them are from down there. And the thing is, we've got so many people here now, we need to find a way to make it hard enough on them here that they'll go back home. Some of them. I don't know how many would. And I don't know exactly the laws that need to be changed or enforced right at the moment to do that, but things have got to change. And, of course, it's not just the people from down in south coming here. The people in the United States, people, big businesses in the United States and mostly probably agricultural businesses, they've got to be put in their place, too, because that's one of the reasons that so many people are here. Is to work on the fields and work in the agricultural thing, and they aren't being paid a legitimate wage. If they're not being hired legitimately and they don't have to pay our taxes on them, and they don't have to pay them as much money, if the law here doesn't know that they're here, and we've got to start tracking tacky.
Well, okay, I see where you're going with that, and I totally agree. Is that they say that we need people here that make less money than what the law requires. In other words, you know, the mandatory minimum wage or the federal minimum wage or whatever. And to that, to me, that's slave labor. And if a company or farm or whatever can't survive because it has to have slave labor, then I say you need to fail. Or, again, look at what we talked earlier. Like in the summertime, you and I both went and worked in the fields to make extra money. Kids are not allowed to do that anymore.
Yeah, really.
You know, so, and that's the other thing that they're going to have to realize that, you know, with this Gang of Eight immigration thing, if they turn everybody into legal, well, the laws that go along with that, too, means that you're going to have to pay them a federal minimum wage at the very least. They will also have to come under the Obama Health Care Act, as the rest of us will, and hopefully, like I said earlier, with the driver's license, that everybody, the laws will be applied equally, which is what I think was the original intent.
The thing is, so you realize that if they're all, if everybody's made legal, and everybody has to get paid minimum wage and things, then that's gonna create a whole new term of a whole new group of people coming into this country. Because they're going to want people, there's going to be that desire to have people that work for less money, and you're going to.
Well, okay. Here's the thing that gets me. I went through a period in my life. I've never been homeless, but I've been to the point where I could not afford food. Literally, I was living on popcorn because, you know, a 99-cent bag of popcorn back then would last me for 2 weeks. I would have worked for anything to bring money in. But because of the laws, nobody was allowed to hire, and you're not allowed to volunteer because that could backfire on the business because you can claim that you've been working for such, and then you go to the labor board and they'll whatever. But yet, again, if you're not here legally and you want to go out and work and have somebody pay you, you can do that.
Well, there's going to be a way you can, the minimum wage is bypassed. Because there's got to be a thing you can sign or whatever to say you forfeit that minimum wage, because there's got to be a way some people can hire people at less money. There's going to be people, whether they're from within the United States already or whether they're coming into the United States from Mexico to do so, there's going to be people working for less money. And there's got to be a legal way to do that instead of making it illegal.
Well, here's the thing. This was an item back in your area in Cottage Grove, where these little flashlight, keyring flashlights, the company was allowing people to put them together in their homes and do it by piecework. And that worked out great, especially for retirees or people wanting to make a little bit extra money on the side. I think they got like, I don't know, 10, 15 cents, 25 cents for each one that they assembled. No big deal. Well, the IRS got involved because they were starting to claim that these people were employees of the company. And the company said, no, it's just something that we allow people to do, pick up some extra money on their own. They do it at their house. They do it whenever they want to. Like the laws that come under being a self-employed or a contractor, you know, you work at your own place and your own time and whatever. But, and the guy says, well, you know, I can have these manufactured very cheaply overseas, but I like giving this people the opportunity to make some extra money. Well, the IRS didn't buy that and threatened to impose huge fines on the company, and plus, and again, going back to the people that were doing the work. And so he ultimately closed shop.
See, I get the impression this is part of what we've got to do. We've got to is to put control under the IRS. It seems to be their way acting more than overextending themselves in so many different areas.
Well, what it is that the government, local and federal, is short on money, and so they're looking for any way that they can get money. But economists will tell you that if you lower the taxes, yes, the government will suffer for a loss of cash flow for a short period of time, but you put the money back into the economy, back into people's hands, and businesses start coming back, people will start spending money, which creates more revenue for the government.
Okay, that's fine and good. There's another step, though. You're going to have to take a lot of these controls, a lot of these regulations off of things.
Exactly.
The regulations are driving up the cost as much as the actual wages.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, just Eugene is a good example. If you want to put up a house, for example, just the thousands of dollars that you spend in permits. I've known one business that they closed up shop a couple years ago. When they just added a seating area, it was a taco place, and they just wanted to add inside seating. The nightmare that the owner went through with the building inspectors and the extra cost that was involved, and when he thought everything was all said and done with, they wouldn't sign off on it because he didn't have a little sign over the lock on the front door that said open, closed.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of this business going around of minuscule rules and regulations that are not necessary at all. And we've got to look into those as well as the wages. I agree with you. And why people can't understand that, it's not that it isn't provable. It's every time you turn around, all you have to do is look, and it's been proven over and over and over again we've got to have change our laws.
Well, follow this, okay? You go purchase something at a store, let's say, for a dollar. All right? The store that you bought that from is going to have to pay a tax because that's a revenue on that dollar, and there could be various taxes taken out of that, you know, for wages that's spent, sales tax, local tax, business tax, and if you follow that dollar to the complete loop, how much money is taxed on from what that $1 generates in its circulation? Like even what it took you to make that dollar, for example, you know, you're paying state, federal taxes, if there's any city taxes. If you're self-employed, like in the Lane County area, you're paying a self-employment tax to the Lane Transit District. So by the time you narrow it down, that dollar's value went from a dollar down to, what, about 15 cents?
Yeah.
If you were to follow it all the way through in its full circle.
So out of that 15 cents, you've got to pay, you got to make the product.
Yeah.
Somehow. And hope it works. That's the thing we've got to do. We've got to make more common sense rules and regulations than we've got now. And this business of rules and regulations, most of them have, I think, probably got roots in consequences. In other words, somebody's gotten hurt or somebody's done something or whatever. So there was a reason for thinking up the rule and putting it in place. But you don't do that for just a little thing. Sometimes these rules are made up just because one person has done something wrong or one person has gotten hurt or something like that. And so we're going to punish the entire population just for that. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and that gets back to the Obamacare thing, as I'm reading the, this is from Fox News, talking about the IRS scandal could hurt Obama's health care. And as they're talking about, the IRS is highly involved in health care law because of financial assistance to help uninsured afford coverage will be funneled through the tax system. At the same time, the IRS is also responsible for penalties on individuals or employers who fail to comply with the law. So getting back to like in Eugene, for example, where the median income is $50,000 a year or less, which used to be a lot of money, with everything getting more expensive, gas is back up to around $4 a gallon. And in the meantime, the city's spending, adding a new bus line for millions of dollars again. But the whole point is that if things are getting more and more expensive, our incomes are down, and now we're going to be required to spend money for health insurance, which if you were to buy health insurance, could be anywhere from $200 to $600 a month, or pay the penalty, which is actually cheaper to pay the penalty. And as Obama said during his campaign in 08 against Hillary Care, that people are going to wind up paying the penalty and still not having insurance. Well, that's exactly where we're going to get. So, again, people are poor. They're going to have to sacrifice, and they're going to be stuck with an IRS lien against them because they can't pay their bill, and then they're going to be tax interest, and it's going to bank. My prediction here, folks, is that it's going to bankrupt. Obamacare is going to bankrupt America, as it's written.
I think it would. I think it would. And that's why I say I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to continue on. It's going to be some major changes made to the Obamacare. I don't want them made by the IRS, however. I think there's going to be some major changes to the IRS as well, because we've got some pretty major questions being asked right now in Congress of the IRS people, and they're not being answered properly. And a lot of people, a lot of Congress is very upset about the answers and very upset about the solutions that the IRS has. So I think there's going to be some major changes made in the IRS even now, right away, fairly, as we find out what's going on. Because I think there's more and more things happening, more and more things that are not made by the decisions that are not made by a group of people, but are indeed made by one person who has something to gain in this product. And so consequently, we're going to make some big changes about who makes the decisions and carries them out with the IRS. So I'm just looking forward to big changes there. And but as far as Obamacare is concerned, I just don't, you know, what concerns me is all the businesses and the actual people who are actually arranging to be prepared to implement Obamacare when it starts, because we're not that far away. Right. So a lot of people are changing the way they do business and the things that they require of businesses to do that. And I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think Obamacare is going to work. It's going to blow up in whoever's face. I don't know.
Well, this is one thing I get tired of hearing. And again, I'm reading further down into the Fox News article. Michelle Bachmann is actually stating something that I agree with. She says that under Obamacare, the average American will pay more. They'll get less. And now they have to worry that their government may punish them because of their beliefs. And in response to that, Representative Sandra Levin, Democrat in Michigan, ranking Democrat on the Ways and Means Committee, which oversees the IRS, says there really isn't a tie. This is just another effort by the Republicans to essentially try to score political points. It's like, okay, it's just like somebody saying, well, can't both sides of the houses get along? Not everything's about scoring political points, I don't believe. Bachmann's comment, I think, is right on.
We've got to get off of this Republican-Democrat thing.
Exactly. That's where I'm going with that.
There's, you know, how we do it, I don't know. We either have no Democrats and Republicans, to have one, or to have a third party in there. Who knows? Maybe the Tea Party will be an actual party and we'll have
Well, so that's just going along the same lines of saying if you disagree with the president on anything, you're racist.
I'm going to leave that alone.
Yeah.
Because that wasn't even brought up until he was president. I mean, that's ridiculous, and I haven't heard that so much, but that's – and Obama himself doesn't say that.
No. But other people have, and it's just the point is that Bachmann, for example, is sticking to the issue. She's bringing up a very good point, you know, whether they can afford it or whether they believe in it or not. They're being forced to purchase a product or pay a penalty, which is still, I believe, is unconstitutional. But, you know, it went to the Supreme Court, and they said, yeah, it's, you know, it's not a fine, it's a tax, which initially Obama said, no, it's not a tax, but now it's a tax.
Well, it's just whatever they wanted to make it. Whatever it is, it isn't going to work.
Yeah. Well, in reality, no, because, you know, I mean, already you got a huge number of people that are trying to get on disability in order to bring in some money for their family. I mean, people are desperate because the jobs are going away, and the jobs that you can get, you know, you can't make it by yourself or even with two people on minimum wage anymore.
That's the thing that's got to change. That's things have, you see, the wages are going down and the prices are going up.
Right.
There is a point where that's got to stop. That's just technically absolutely got to stop. There's going to have to be a point where, since wages are going down, and that's said period. So sooner or later, prices have got to stop going up, and they've got to come back down again because people will stop buying things. So until they do stop buying things, so there's something missing here in the equation, and I haven't figured it out. But it'll figure itself out is what it'll do, and I'm afraid it's going to hurt a whole lot of people when it does.
Right. No, I agree. It's going to hit the fan, as they say, but maybe it has to.
It has to. It absolutely has to, because something's going to have to be done. The spread between prices and wages can't get much more, and consequently, we're going to have problems because we've got too many people. We've got too many people that are out of work and are even out of unemployment. And they're just off the books entirely, and we can't have that many people off the books. Some people are going to start starving to death, and we can't have this in a country this rich. That can't be. Somehow or another, they're living on something. Who knows what? At this particular point, they're stealing it or buying it, or you know.
Well, theft is up, and places like Lane County they're going through budget crisis with. They're thinking about closing down more beds at the jail, but in the meantime...
Well, why not just close it down entirely? It's only like 35 beds in the jail anyway.
No, it's about 200 and something. But
they're not open.
Right.
Not being used. Only about 35 of them are being used by Lane County.
Exactly. But where I was going at is, and I've had this conversation actually with one of Lane County commissioners recently, is they're talking about... how to raise money for sheriffs. And I said, well, you know, it's just like Eugene. They have a $5 million deficit that they're wanting to add a new tax on to people for $10 a month fee, and yet they're able to find money to buy a $2 million skateboard park. Gosh, if you take that $2 million that they were able to find and apply that to the $5 million deficit, gosh, you only have to come up with $3 million, and you can probably do more of the same, because we don't need a skateboard park, but we do need protective services.
Well, yeah. I don't think we don't need a skateboard. We do need a skateboard park, but not right now, perhaps.
When the economy gets better, or if it's private donations, yeah, put up a skateboard park, and also assuming that you got enough donations to be able to run the thing, too. But to convert a city park and spend $2 million on money you don't have? No.
Yeah. Well, I can hear the music in the background, so we're out of time. Great.
That's right. And we appreciate the guests for checking us out. And we'll see you next Saturday. See you then.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.